Hello and welcome back to Most Clicked. I'm your host, Nathan from Smile. As always, I am joined by my good friends, Matt, also from Smile, and Kyle, the education marketer. If you enjoy this content, please consider liking this video or subscribing to our YouTube channel. Now, today's episode, Kyle, we're talking about brands, the top 10 coolest brands, right?
That's right. Top 10 coolest brands for Gen A, which is really cool. Well, I have to overuse the word cool in opening sentence, which is great because I've been writing about Gen A and presenting on this up-and-coming generation for probably about just over a month now. A lot of topics I write about seem to find an audience, so clearly some interest in it. And there was a recent survey conducted by Beano Brain, which is like the insights arm of the Beano. So even like the Beano is a comic.
What, like the Beano comic?
Beano comic, yeah, yeah. So they've got like a research agency attached to them, which looks at youth insights, which, you know, isn't that awesome? Isn't that a great fit? And just, you know, shows you what a media brand can be today. And they did a survey. So they 30,000 young people. Between the ages of 7 and 14. So I'll just check in my screen there. And yeah, so there's 50 brands on this piece. And there's a few that stick out to me. One first that sticks out to me is at number 15, funnily enough. And it's not on this graphic, but it is on the kind of longer one. It's Harry Potter at number 15. And, you know, I just love that because it clearly shows that parent child between like millennial and Gen A, it seems to be quite strong. And I don't know about you guys, but I didn't share many sort of pop culture interests with my parents growing up. So I think, you know, access to like the internet and technology, and it's just kind of turning culture into a big ball. More accessible.
There were some things that I did share though, like when I was growing up, my dad always used to watch Star Trek and stuff, and I was kind of became a Star Trek fan by association. Back to the Future, like one of my favorite ever films, just because my dad always used to watch it. So I'm not actually too surprised at things like Harry Potter and how that's a trendsetter. I don't know, what about you? You got any questions around this, Matt?
I thought the top 10 was quite interesting to look at the difference between those ranked by girls and boys and some of the order. I was quite surprised to see some of the gaming ones on there. Amazon, I think, was at top five for girls, which I thought was quite interesting. But Kyle, were there any educational brands in that top 50?
I mean, I wouldn't say there's anything that's strictly classed as an education brand. Microsoft is on there. I guess that's a bit of a stretch. There's a few others. Lego can arguably be a education brand, but yeah, there's not a university on there or a provider. Might think differently.
Well, there's not a university, right? Yeah. But I think the number one spot is an educational brand.
Clever.
I see. I'm not the audience here. I'm not Gen A, sadly. But if I ever want to learn to do something, like I needed to rewire a switch the other day, where do I go?
YouTube.
I had to do something with my boiler. Where do I go? YouTube. When I have to do something to do with my job, where do I go? YouTube. So actually, I think that it's kind of like the world's biggest university by stealth. I think that says a lot about what you need to do to be competitive.
Well, I think you're right though. I mean, we spoke about the potential of universities using their YouTube channel for research, didn't we? And how they could be formatted into educational pieces. Not that that doesn't already exist, but doing it in a way that, you know, this is the channel where you get this information from, like School of Life, for instance. So yeah, maybe you're right. Yeah, number one education brand.
And we spoke with when we spoke with Jord from Nonsensical, and he was saying about, you know, TikTok being a discoverability platform. And that's really stuck with me because I think a lot can be said for YouTube here about it's not the same as TikTok, but again, it's that discoverability. Like I can quite easily fall down a rabbit hole In equal parts, I can fall down a rabbit hole of Marble Run channels and watch Marble Runs for 3 hours. Or at the same time, I could fall down a rabbit hole of JavaScript web development for three hours. And I think that's an incredible kind of thing that YouTube has. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe universities might try to be too serious sometimes in some of their content, I guess. I don't know. But I do think that you can view YouTube as an educational brand, for sure.
Yeah, I'll take that, 100%.
The other one, of course, that I thought as well, sorry to interrupt again, is Minecraft. So, like, they do use Minecraft to teach computing now in schools. Yeah. So there's a lot to be said for some of the more gaming aspects, as particularly given, just checking my screen here, but, you know, Minecraft on the all kids 7 to 14 is number 7, and so again, it's almost education by, like, in stealth mode.
Yeah, and I think Minecraft as a brand and as a tool, almost, I think we'll see higher ed using that a bit more in the years to come. I mean, I saw a great tour from Abate Uni a while back now. Campus in Minecraft, really compelling. Haven't seen much like it since, but I think as Gen A start coming up and, you know, coming onto campuses and looking at these sort of things, I think that, you know, that ability to build those experiences in virtual worlds, I can see it catching on. I can see it being useful as well. I mean, that Minecraft one is pretty good, you know, from Abate. It's very immersive. In a lot of ways, it's probably more immersive than a typical virtual tour, you know? So yeah, definitely a lot of to take from this list. I mean, I love seeing YouTube at the top because I think that's the most popular sort of career destination or career aspiration for a young person today as well, isn't it? So not too surprised to see that one up there. TikTok further down the list though. Interesting, isn't it? Yeah.
I reckon that's because parents won't, like, there'll still be a resistance at that age to have your own device. Whereas, like, YouTube, for example, is more, it's more easily accessible. You can get it on TV, for example. Yeah. Like, with my daughter, it's kind of, we restrict YouTube quite a bit. But there's even things like YouTube Kids, you know, the specialized versions for kids. So this generation has probably been brought up with YouTube since they were babies. It's like in university terms you call it lifelong learning, but in YouTube it's just get them whilst they're young, and then, you know, that's it. It's with them for life then.
Yeah, the content obviously, like, changes as they go through their life as well, doesn't it? So yeah. I mean, there's a bunch of kids nowadays that are properly indoctrinated into that platform. Education, entertainment, you know, it's all serviced through the same app, isn't it?
Yeah, totally.
Perhaps we've already touched on some of the answers to this question, but you, in your post, Kyle, you mentioned about how those brands have a certain few things in common, and a couple of those were they reinvent themselves over and over again, and that they do so quickly. Mm. And if we're bringing that back to universities, how can they expect to reinvent them? How should they go about reinventing themselves? And I'm wondering whether we've touched on bits there already. And how can they compete on a speed level with these out-of-sector brands?
That's a challenge. So I think there's evidence to suggest that I think a lot of universities are already making the changes necessary to connect with this audience. So I don't think it will come as a surprise that I think over the last year or so, there's a load of tenders gone out for one of three things, right? It's either a CMS platform, a VLE, or some ad tech platform. There's also sometimes a CRM in there, but I think most universities have probably got a CRM by now. And, you know, to change your CRM system, I don't know, is it hard on your CMS? Probably about the same level of difficulty and different challenges. But, you know, there's tenders out for all of those things at the moment, which together sort of say this is your 360 student experience from recruitment, you know, to the actual student experience through to graduation. So all of those tools touch that. So I think there's an understanding across the sector that, you know, these things, these long ongoing problems, you know, need to be fully addressed and done so in like, okay, you know, this isn't just like a piecemeal change we're doing. We're not just changing one. We're going to do the whole thing and bring it up to the standards where we need to get to. And so there's two ways, there's two kind of lenses there, isn't there? There's other platforms that you build that experience on, and then there's the channels you use to communicate. And, you know, I think every other week now, I see universities thinking about the channels that they use to communicate with students very differently. And, you know, Chicago has like a podcast network, which they generate sponsorship revenue through, and that addresses their wider audiences through niche podcasts. And, you know, there's all kinds of smaller examples like this now appearing across university marketing channels. So you've got both the platform change and the way marketing's done changing. And on the point of speed and getting things done, I think universities, there is that kind of view that things move slowly, but I've been in like digital teams, and when something becomes urgent and it's told to be done, it's amazing how quickly it moves. Yeah. And I think that comes down to an element of focus. And, you know, usually, like, if I'm talking about the lens of a digital function, these teams are overwhelmed, and the website's falling over and it's on fire, and they're trying their best to keep pace with stuff. And, you know, suddenly when this project becomes like all important, and, you know, senior stakeholders say they want to get it done, the focus then suddenly appears because it has to, and then that project gets done. So I think universities are perfectly capable of doing it and focusing and moving things quickly. It just, I think the right conditions need to exist.
I couldn't agree more on that. Like the dilution that I see in universities, I'd love for a university to go, you know what, 50% of all that traditional stuff that we're meant to do, not going to do it anymore, but we're going to do the other 50%, we're going to do it awesome, like we're going to whole at it rather than half at it. Like I'd love to see something like that, but that dilution is very real. Real
in my own experience. You know, I've worked on web projects and things, and you know, often the limitation isn't the ability and the, you know, the skills in the team, it's just the amount of stuff they need to deliver. And it is mad. And you know, you go to a private organization and it's very different. You have, you know, well, in the best sort of structures, you know, things are quite focused. Like, you know, this is a sprint, these are the priorities, because these are the things that deliver revenue. That sort of same mentality, I don't think quite exists in all universities yet. So I think it is possible. And I think I've seen great work delivered when there is that element of focus.
Well, I was really hoping as well. I noticed that Starbucks was like in the top 10. I was really hoping I could squeeze in my anecdote about why Starbucks isn't a coffee company, but we don't have time to do that. So I'm going to have to put that as like some exclusive content on LinkedIn. So watch out for that.
You're going to put it by the paywall.
And I think this has been one of our longest episodes, so I'm sorry to have rambled on here. But also on LinkedIn recently, I talked about how I'm so terrible at these closing elements. You might have noticed how terrible my intro was, asking people to follow and like this bloody thing. So can somebody help me in asking people to bloody do something with this show? Kyle, can you give that a go for me, please?
I will. Thanks for watching, everyone. This is an impromptu exit. If you like what you see here, you should certainly like it. A comment and subscribe. And if you really like what you see here, you should also subscribe to my newsletter. Which offers the same stuff like this every week in a slightly different format. We love you. We appreciate you watching us. And thank you for giving us a job to do every week.